Hello?
We're going to 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3.
Back to the party at Hilton Chicago. Sox Fest 2019 now on 720 WGN.
Not a better day in this year or almost any year to think about baseball than today.
Oh, it warms the heart just a little bit.
Oh, is going on outside right now. It is just not so good. Don't look outside. Think about Boys of Summer. Think about think about the green grass at Guaranteed Rate Field.
Mm-hmm.
Think about Eloy Jimenez going up to the plate. Think about the first pitch out of the park, over the top. Think about the next batter up, Manny Machado.
Oh.
Think about this. I want to think about that for just a second.
The smell of the Polish sausage and onions wafting through.
And then the cleanup man, Bryce Harper. Let's just think about that for a second.
Think about the vendor in left field saying, two more Modelos, Mr. Roper, you sure? It is the top of the seventh. Okay.
You're over at home, right?
On the Rokan Show.
That was nice. Nice painting of a picture.
Thank you, Jason Benetti, who paints great pictures.
He does.
For the Chicago White Sox. He is, and I've been saying this since we've been talking about you. I've been talking about you for the last year on the air. To me, I am such a geek about broadcasters and broadcasting and sports broadcasters, especially because it's such a unique, really tough field to be in. Everybody thinks they could do it. It is really, really, really hard. And I don't think there's a better local television play-by-play guy in baseball than Jason Benetti at a very young age. And I believe that now that Vin Scully has passed away, by far, he hasn't passed away. I just killed him. Look at what I
said.
Oh, boy.
That's new information to me. I thought I was in wonderful health, and I'm not.
Vin Scully, to me, was my favorite of all times. And you are now my favorite of all times.
Oh.
So you just make everything feels warm and fuzzy. Pat Summerall used to do that to me, too. It was like this sort of sound like everything's going to be okay. And you do that. You're
so
great at it. Well,
that's so kind of you to say. And I was just talking with Rick Hahn, actually, and a couple friends of mine about the strange ways people have, like, in the building where I live or, like, out around the city, have brought up Manny Machado to me. You actually win the prize for oddest walk-up
comment
about Manny Machado. Because I was in, like, this mode. I was basically in, like, baseball Puerto Vallarta. And you, like, put me there, and then it was like, Manny Machado. Which is awesome. You win the prize for thing I was just talking about. I am having a medal manufactured, but I can't give it to you yet because it would be tampering.
Okay, I understand.
Yeah.
I understand. But his first walk up to the plate, you've already got it in your head?
I'm ready to go for anybody that shows up,
very well
I think,
said, yes.
Right?
I understand.
Maybe?
Of course.
I don't know. I'm saying that, but I don't know that that's true.
As you think about this, all right, so when you're preparing and you think about the biggest of games, right, important, like Michael Kopech is about 15 yards away from us right now signing autographs.
Where?
And Kopech is the first Kopech game, and they're selling the dirt from the mound over here at FanFest, which is really, I think it's the funniest thing
beautiful?
I've ever seen at a FanFest.
I love it.
And there was so much excitement about him, and there was such this moment, and, you know, obviously now, we're not going to see him for for another year, but, you know, the new and improved version of him, but there's so much hope. What were you thinking that game?
So a bunch of years ago, I had Steven Strasburg in AAA as he was coming up through the minors, the Washington Nationals phenom. And when Strasburg pitched for us in AAA, the Syracuse Chiefs at the time was us. And he would show up, and people would drive in from Pennsylvania to Central New York to see Strasburg pitch. And I called Ian Eagle, who is one of the best on the planet at play-by-play. He does CBS work, he does the Nets, he does the NCAA tournament, he's fantastic. And Ian basically said to me, don't oversell him, he'll sell himself. And so what I was thinking was, let Michael Kopech show the world what he does and caption it. But you don't need to tell people that his fastball is a fast fastball. You need to tell people maybe what it means. But it's not my job to make him into a superhuman because, frankly, he does that himself. Right. So that was rolling around from years ago in my mind.
Excellent.
That's part of the art of what you do, Jason. And I would imagine in that same vein, you don't think too much in advance about it, making one of those calls that's going to stand for history. Because, as you know, of course, better than anyone, the best ones just came from that moment. You're reacting as a professional, but also as an eyewitness to history.
Yeah, I think if you guarantee yourself that you're going to say something in a certain moment, you're going to do it some sort of injustice. Mm. I think it would be unfair to the person to not mull over what he means to the game and what this moment means to a fan base beforehand. Like, that had been rolling around in my mind, but it wasn't, I need to do X. Right. It was, gee, I wonder what the context is for me, for him to be here today. And let that kind of simmer in my mind, and then whatever comes out from all of the information I have about him will go.
Gotcha. I think that's really the hallmark. Back to you for a second here. The hallmark of your work, which is so amazing, is you take the viewer into, you know, you become that, the inner voice of the viewer. And you find a way, and, you know, and Steve Stone, who, you know, is one of my, I've known for 1 trillion years, one of my favorite people on the planet. But he is, you know, I think he became Steve Stone, the great, as a broadcaster, because he was able to, he wanted to connect with parents of little kids playing the game, and then connect with generations of kids about instruction, and this is what you're seeing, and this is what you're looking at. And this is why I think the two of you have been great together, is that you then connect the fabric of the emotion of being in a ballpark at sunset and, you know, watching these greats, people who will one day be in the Hall of Fame, and that, you know, as you go from you know, parent to child to parent to child, they want to tell that story, and you give them the context of that. It's really something.
Well, and Steve, you know, to Steve Stone for a second, we have seen a lot over the past 7 days, and very rightfully so, about Tony Romo and his crystal ball and calling out the plays that were coming in the Chiefs-Patriots game.
Right.
This is not to take away from Tony Romo, because he deserves every pot of money that people throw at him. Yeah. Steve Stone's been doing that for years.
Right. Incredible.
Absolutely. He will call out pitches before they happen, and that is, it takes, first of all, knowing that you're going to be right. It also takes guts to say this is going to happen. Not maybe it could be this or that. It's, hey, he's going to throw this here. And to Steve's credit, he's been doing that for years.
Right.
And if he were doing it on a national stage, we'd be hearing about it in the national media.
Yeah.
So I think Stoney deserves a lot of credit for his ability to anticipate, even sometimes with a guy that we've just gotten from the minor leagues.
Yeah.
Like, and he knows enough to be able to jump off that ledge with us and be right.
Absolutely. And Jason, not only saying, you know, we're going to see the, you know, the curveball, but he'll say, two pitches before that, look, if they set this guy up with an inside fastball and they throw it anywhere on the outside corner or even in the dirt, he's done. And, you know, whoever the batter is, because he's seen the tendencies on this hitter that he's going to, you know, that he's going to be backed off the plate and then he's not going to, then he's going to lunge for something. And it plays out. You're like, am I on TiVo? Is this back in the day of TiVo?
It's actually terrifying. he'll give me like a little wink and then we'll move on.
Wow.
And it's awesome.
Amazing.
It's really cool.
Jason, outside Eloy, which prospect gets you the most excited?
How come you took away Jimenez from me?
Well, because I had to. I knew you were going to go there. Everybody goes there.
Classic fantasy player over
here. No, yeah. Dylan Cease.
Yeah.
Dylan Cease. Yeah. Because having known him now for a year and a half or so, I like the makeup mentally. Like, Dad's a lawyer. He is a yoga meditation sort of guy. Yeah. He's a very centered person. And that may sound like intangible or like soft sports to some people. It really matters on the mound. Mm-hmm. Like, that dude knows who he is. And he's got a bionic arm. That combination of self-assuredness and the arm, to me, is a lethal pairing. And I like the guy. I think he's going to have great success. And you can tell that he's extremely confident in what he does. And you don't get that with every prospect. You just don't. Nick Madrigal is also very, very close. I know you only asked for one, and I'm like demolishing the question from the premise.
It's nice to have
original.
That embarrassment of riches.
Yeah. Madrigal, I saw in a super regional a couple years ago. Oregon State played Vanderbilt, and there were a bunch of great players on that Oregon State team, including Rutschman, the catcher who's likely going to be the first pick, Adley Rutschman, this year, or one of the first picks. And I left that Super Regional with Mike Rooney, who was my analyst, and we both said afterward, like, Nick Madrigal's the best player. Jaron Kendall was there. He was in the discussion for the Sox pick at the time. And I was like, Madrigal, that guy. And Rooney, who actually knows the game, said that as well. And it's because of his plate discipline. That usually plays up through the minor league. So I think I would say Cease and Madrigal.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
I know, Kev, you didn't answer the question.
Roe?
But
which prospect gets you most excited?
Luis Robert.
Yeah.
He does.
Yeah, did you see him here? If you're coming to convention this weekend, he looks like he could play linebacker for the Chicago Bears or free safety. I mean, the guy is just built like a house. He is ripped.
And what's crazy is you put him next to Mike or Adolfo, and Adolfo's like bigger than he is.
Yeah. They've got some weapons here.
It is a change in baseball. And you think about Steve Stone in that era from the 1970s in baseball and the conditioning of players from then, or the Babe Ruth era, the conditioning of players from then.
Or lack thereof.
Right.
The condition of players.
Right.
Yeah.
But the best players, you know, I mean, I wouldn't want to meet Stan Musial in an alley, right? I mean, he's wiry, but he could kill you, right? I mean, these guys are very physical.
Ted Williams. Guys
right. Ted Williams is big, right?
Bob Gibson. Yeah. You don't want to meet Bob Gibson.
Right. Bob Gibson. Those were
terrifying.
These were, but we're talking about all the guys from that era that were of that size and physicality. This is, you know, the game has changed so much now in terms of the physical nature of it, and guys wanting to stay in shape, and they come into, you know, you guys aren't showing up. They're not going to show up in a couple of weeks in Arizona out of shape. You can't afford it.
It's a year-round thing.
Right.
You have to. But that's the fun part about baseball, though, is you don't have to be that size. Like somebody, we had an event last night for season ticket holders, and I was on stage with a bunch of the players, and somebody texted me a picture of me standing, like, in the same vicinity as Nick Madrigal, and the text said, like, you got 2 inches on him. And I feel bad for the guy because it's actually true. But the kid's an amazing talent, hand-eye coordination-wise. It's ridiculous how good he is at the game already, and to know that you can be, you know, David Eckstein is the guy that everybody holds up to say, I can do this if I'm a smaller guy. But, you know,
look
Nick,
at Altuve.
Nick could be him. Altuve, too. Yeah, it's a great point. There's a new Eckstein, and he's better than Eckstein was.
No, it's such a fun sport. All right, so as we're getting ready for the season here, are there certain series you're targeting early on here that you're thinking about and thinking, you know, this is going to sort of tell the story of the season? Because I think Sox fans are very excited about, with reservation, right? Because it's not, the rebuild is not complete here. And we have to see still what other piece, if one comes, what it will be. But is there something, a moment where, you know, Cubs fans always point to, you know, a Cardinals series that changed the dynamics of a season like an 84. Is there something that you're looking at that tells you where they really are?
It's a little cliche. I'm going to answer the question, but I need to know how you do to a coffee stopper what you did to the one that's in your hand. It's like, it was oddly bent in a spot that I didn't think was actually
superhero
possible.
Strength.
Yes. I do origami.
Yeah,
it's my like, thing, and it's
real strong. Right
yeah,
there.
Like really strange origami.
Yeah, that's what I do.
It looked like a flamingo. Really, you did a great job.
Thank you very much.
So,
by the way, I'm selling this with the Kopech dirt.
Okay.
Yeah, bring it over to the garage sale if you're allowed in.
Roast up. So I would say let's just play right now. Like I want the opening series to be here because I'm very excited about the possibilities. And honestly, too, with what Rick Hahn has talked about and the possibilities of who we might see this year, the series when Eloy Jimenez gets here.
Mm. Third week in potentially.
That seems potentially like it would be
again,
a feasible time to do that.
Yeah.
I don't way above my pay grade,
right.
But that's what people are talking about.
Yeah.
The people, they're saying it. That's who are they? They
are
always
saying,
say them.
Whispers in the
But that's the series. That's the series I'm excited about because the electricity for Kopech's first start.
Yeah.
Felt like a playoff game.
Sure.
And and if Jimenez is anything like we think he's going to be, and I really, really do, even though I'm not allowed to, Kevin, I really, really think he's going to be that type of star and a crossover star as well, you know, in terms of the community here in Chicago and
sure.
all the people that he can connect with. That day, I'm ready. Let's go.
Wow.
Well, this is a franchise on great ascendance right now, and you're a part of it, and you're the voice of it, and you're going to be the person that the way that Harry was associated for so many years with, you know, the change and the greatness of a franchise, that's where Jason Benetti is going to be seen in the many decades to come in your work here with the White Sox. So thank you very much for what you do.
That's very kind of you. That usually is followed by the statement, no pressure.
Yes, no pressure.
Yeah, no pressure.
Yeah, don't worry
go
about it.
Go get him.
Pressure.
Right.
We're all counting on you.
And if I could just get $20 for parking, that would really help. Thanks very much.
Give that stopper
stick
to somebody. And amazing. It doesn't stop anything anymore.
No, it doesn't. Yeah. It doesn't. I have high nerves, Jason.